Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Homeopathy World Community Blog Talk Radio, creating waves of awareness over the airwaves, via the internet, and by friends telling friends they care. Working in unity to promote homeopathy around the globe. Every Thursday, join us for a personal tour of Vaccinations and Your Rights in the U.S., a show co-hosted by HWC founder and homeopath Debbie Brock and attorney at law Alan Phillips. We invite you to comment and call in to contribute your thoughts and questions. Let's go! Welcome to Homeopathy World Community Blog Talk Radio, creating waves of awareness over the airwaves, via the internet, and by friends telling friends they care. Working in unity to promote homeopathy around the globe. Every Thursday, join us for a personal tour of Vaccinations and Your Rights in the U.S., a show co-hosted by HWC founder and homeopath Debbie.
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. If you desire to speak to the host, please press 1 at any time, and the host will be notified that there is a caller in queue. Otherwise, please hold and you will be able to listen to the show.
Ready here, so I'm going to go ahead and take the live caller. We have somebody whose area code begins 661. Let me see if I got you on the air. 661 area code, are you with us? Had pushed 1 to be in queue. Are you with us there? And if you're either... Okay, I see. That's not a listener. Another technical snafu there. Sorry about that, folks. Well, I will go straight to some questions that I have gotten by email concerning vaccines and your rights in the U.S. By the way, just a quick announcement first. There is now a petition for folks in Mississippi. Mississippi is, by the way, one of only two states in the U.S. with regard to school exemptions, who only have a medical exemption. So if parents want to opt out of vaccines for their kids in terms of school enrollment for medical or, for philosophical or religious reasons, you can't do that in West Virginia or in Mississippi. Mississippi is really an anomaly, perhaps in many other respects, but for our purposes today, in the vaccine exemption world in the United States, because the Mississippi State Supreme Court about 30 years ago ruled that vaccine religious exemptions violate the federal constitution. The Mississippi State Supreme Court said that vaccine religious exemptions violate the federal constitution. And what this means as a legal technicality is that in the state of Mississippi, it is unconstitutional for that state to have a vaccine religious exemption. So they can't have one there. Short answer, there are ways potentially that one could be enacted there in the future, but the bottom line is it's a difficult proposition because as a technical legal matter, religious exemptions are unconstitutional in Mississippi. They are not unconstitutional anywhere else in the U.S., not even West Virginia, which also does not have a vaccine religious exemption for schools enrollment. In West Virginia, they have a different hurdle. They've just had difficulty getting a law passed through the legislature there, despite the fact, from what I'm told by activists there, that they have the votes. So this is an example of politics at its worst, where somebody who has political clout and power, but who does not have the majority of the legislature backing them, is nevertheless able to stop a vote from happening or from a law from being passed if it could get up to a vote. So that's pretty disturbing revelation there about the reality of politics. Politics in terms of state legislations is not... in practice, is not about what do the constituents want or what do even the legislators want, but it's about who controls the system. And like it or not, that's practical reality. But back to my original point, folks in Mississippi, parents in particular, if you would like to have a philosophical exemption, there's a petition now up on the internet for people who would like to, in Mississippi, who want to support that. And the bottom line here, folks, the more people who support that philosophical exemption in Mississippi, the more people in Mississippi who support that, the greater the likelihood that the legislators, individually and collectively, will support that idea and will work with you and others like-minded to pass legislation in Mississippi providing for that. There's no reason why they can't have a philosophical exemption there in terms of any legal barriers. It's just a question of whether they can get the votes. Whole different story with the potentially religious exemption in Mississippi, but no legal barriers to the enactment of philosophical exemption. Where is that petition online? A link to that can be found at the Pandemic Response Project, and that's one of my two primary websites, vaccinerights.com. And you can go to vaccinerights.com, and there's a link on the homepage there to take you to the Pandemic Response Project, or you can go straight to the Pandemic Response Project. It's those three words spelled out, pandemicresponseproject.com, and there's links across the top of that website, pandemicresponseproject.com. Go to the news link at the top right. At the top of the news page, there is a link to the Mississippi petition. That's probably an easier way to get there than me trying to spell it out for you over the air. But folks are always welcome to call or email me about this or any other vaccine rights issue, whether it has to do with your legal rights or vaccine legislative issues. And my contact information is at vaccinerights.com. So I had some interesting questions come up to me during the week, and I'm going to talk about some of those issues here. The first half hour of the show, my wonderful co-host, Debbie Brook, founder of Homeopathy World Community, will be joining me at the half hour, and we'll be talking about some current events and vaccine news for the hour following her joining me, and she may join me before then. I don't know. She sometimes does, but she'll be in at the half hour, if not sooner. And the very last half hour of this two-hour segment, Debbie has all to herself to bring you information, useful, usable information about homeopathy, how you can improve your own health and well-being through the use of homeopathy. Debbie is a homeopath and very knowledgeable on the subject. Lots of great information there, and you can call in and ask her questions as well. So I got a question for someone recently saying that they had a couple of foster children in the home, and they'd like very much not to be mandated to vaccinate them. And could I help with that? And let me clarify first right off the bat that I do not, and we do not, neither I nor my co-host in a little bit, Debbie Brook, ever offer or intend to offer medical or legal advice on the air, but we talk about educational matters. So I just wanted to talk about this kind of generally because there's a couple of questions there. The specific laws for vaccine requirements and exemptions for school enrollment will vary from state to state because this is an issue that concerns state residents. The federal government does not have authority to mandate vaccines for state residents. That's up to the individual states. And so every state has its own set of laws, vaccine requirements, exemption laws. And so the wording and the specific rights and the procedures for exemptions, those things will vary from state to state. So there really are many times not global answers to questions, answers that will just apply all over the country. Many times there's going to be variations in the answers to questions, variations from state to state. But as a general proposition, the starting place is almost always look at your state's statutes and regulations, and it's really important to understand that your rights regarding vaccine exemptions, and for purposes of this particular point, talking about school exemptions, because vaccines are required in many different areas, many different contexts, and there's different laws, state and or federal law that applies to different contexts. So we're talking about school enrollment here, where you have to have vaccines to get into school or daycare. You got to look at the wording of the state laws, and many times, in fact, probably most of the time in most states, you really need to look at a combination of both the statutes in terms of what's required and what the exemption options are, but also health department regulations. Many times, health departments will promulgate regulations. That's the official word for that when you're talking about regulations and state agencies. The equivalent of a legislature enacting statutes, agencies will promulgate regulations. But anyway, the regulations will often have additional details about the rights, or maybe in some states, health departments will create forms for the exercises of an exemption, and often that information will be in regulations. It's possible, by the way, when you have a statute setting out one procedure for an exemption and regulations may set out another procedure, and then you could potentially have an option to do either the regulation procedure or the statutory procedure. But I think most of the time in most states you'll see there's one option, and it'll either be spelled out in the statutes and or the regulations. But anyway, you look at the wording first, and the question is, who has a right to exercise the exemption? Now, I think most exemption laws will refer to parents, but after that, there will be different terms. Many of them will refer to parents. Many of them will use the word guardians. Some laws will use legal phrases, like the North Carolina law refers to persons in loco parentis, a Latin phrase that just means anyone who's in the position of a parent. For example, there was a case in North Carolina in recent years where parents had lost custody of their children to the state because of neglect issues. And the question in that case was, well, could the parents still exercise a legal exemption? And in this particular instance, the answer was no, because the language of the statute, in loco parentis, it was the state that had taken custody of the children that was in loco parentis, or in the position of the parent. So it was the state that got to make that decision under those circumstances. That would not be an answer that would necessarily be the same in other states where they have laws with different wording. So you really have to look at the individual wording of the laws in your state to answer questions. But I have never seen a law, an exemption law, that specifically referred to foster parents, and so it's a good question. And so the question legally is, who has authority to make that decision when a foster parent becomes a foster parent and has foster children living with them? Do they have the full legal authority for medical, or if they're looking at a religious exemption for that matter, religious decision-making? And I don't know the answer to that question, and it's a question they may vary from state to state. So I think there's a couple of questions within that larger question. You know, if I'm a foster parent, how do I keep my foster children from being vaccinated? So the first question is, you've got to find out, well, who has authority to make that decision as a foster parent? And if there's any sort of written documentation, contractual information, you know, do you sign a contract when you become a foster parent? I'm not a foster parent, so I don't know that process. But if you do, I would look at the wording and see what it says about who has what authority to make medical decision-making or decide religion for the children and so forth. You can also, of course, talk with the state or government officials that you dealt with in the foster parent process. Who has the authority when you're a foster parent to make those to make medical decision making or school enrollment questions or questions about religion for purposes of an exemption? So that's the question that needs to be answered, and part of the answer may lie in, again, in the specific wording of the state laws. Who does the state say has authority in terms of the wording of the law? Parents, guardians, and so forth. If a foster parent is a legal guardian and the state law says guardians can exercise the exemption, there's your answer right there, for example. So not quite the clear answer that the person asking was hoping for, I'm sure, but hopefully some insight there into how to dig a little deeper to get to the answer. I had another interesting question where somebody emails me, and this person says, it's a father and husband. My wife and I recently decided to stop vaccinating our child, but my mother, the child's grandmother, is threatening to sue them with child abuse or neglect or endangerment. Could she really do so? Interesting question, and this goes to a broader issue. A lot of people who have the ability to think for themselves, take the time to investigate vaccine issues, and come to the conclusion that they want to stop vaccinating. Of course, the first question is, what are your legal options? What are the legal procedures? And that's a very important question, because a lot of people discover problems with the vaccines and they say, I'm not going to do that anymore. But you've got to be really careful here, because legally there's only three places you can be with vaccines. You're either doing or getting for your children whatever legally required vaccines are, or you're exercising a legal exemption, hopefully in the proper manner, so you're, you know, covered there, or you're not doing either one of those first two options. And it's the people who unwittingly walk into that third category where they're neither doing the vaccines nor exercising an exemption. That's the place where people are at risk of being accused of medical neglect or some other similar kind of charge, because of not being in compliance with the law. You know, for someone to be charged or prosecuted for neglect or abuse, you have to be doing something or failing to do something, such as taking care of, you know, don't feed and clothe your children, or proactively doing something, beating them in some, you know, inappropriate way, abusing them or whatever. You have to be out of compliance with the law or violating the law to be accused or successfully prosecuted in any event of neglecting or abusing your children. And if you are in compliance with the law, for example, if you're exercising a vaccine exemption, if you're doing that properly, you are not out of compliance with the law for not vaccinating. And so you can't be charged with a neglect or abuse or anything like that if you're exercising a proper exemption. But a grandmother, now, this would be a, strictly speaking, a state law question, and theoretically the answer could vary from state to state as laws vary from state to state on state law issues, but I'm going to just give you a very general answer. A grandmother does not have what's called standing to charge the parents, you know, their adult son or daughter as parents of the grandchild, with abuse or neglect. That's a charge that's got to come from the state. Now, grandma could report mom and dad to local child protective services if grandma thought that the adult child parents of the grandchild were neglecting or abusing the child. And, of course, if the report presented a possibility of real or genuine abuse or neglect, then Child Protective Services would have the legal obligation and responsibility of doing some kind of follow-up or investigation to see whether or not there actually was some legal abuse or neglect, and then if so, you know, to take steps accordingly to protect the child. So grandma's threat about suing is probably meaningless, but grandma could potentially stir up trouble. But this is why, just one of many reasons why it's critically important for people to get clarification on their rights. Find out what vaccines are required of you or your children. Find out what the options are in your state, if it's a state law issue, and school enrollment and daycare and so forth, the state law issue. Find out what the laws are in your state, what the options are, what the exemption options are. Find out what the proper procedure is if you need to exercise an exemption. Be prepared. If CPS knocks on the door and says, may I come in, you know, we understand your kids aren't vaccinated, you know, be prepared to say, oh, well, we have an exemption for the kids, you know, would you like a copy of our exemption statement, for example, if you have one, or a copy of the form if your state has a form, or, you know, come on in, let's talk about this. You know, be prepared to explain very quickly and clearly that you're on solid legal ground there, that there isn't a problem. But, of course, you want to always be cooperative with authorities to the extent that you can reasonably do so, because these folks are ultimately in a position to make our lives difficult, and we want to, at least as a starting place, you want to be as cooperative as you can with local authorities, because we're really ultimately asking a favor of them. You know, please do me the favor of being unreasonable and making me jump through hoops. But I tell you, if at all possible, you don't want to get sucked into the Child Protective Services vortex, because once a complaint is made and once it is the local authorities feel that there is some substance to a complaint, once they actually start an investigation, then there's a whole process that has to – a whole cycle or process that has to be completed. So if a complaint comes in and the initial investigation is that, no, there's really not a valid complaint here, things can wrap up and end very quickly. But if your kids weren't vaccinated, you didn't have a quick, clear answer for why they weren't vaccinated, and it looked like you were out of compliance with the law, potentially what could follow there would be a more in-depth investigation and a cycle that then ultimately somebody has to walk through and complete. So anyway, again, another really good question, another good issue there to be concerned about and aware of. So you're listening to Vaccines and Your Rights in U.S. with vaccine rights attorney Alan Phillips, founder of Homeopathy World Community. Debbie Brook will be joining me soon here, and we'll get into some of the latest issues in the news and current events with vaccines. But you are always welcome, listeners, to call in live with your questions or comments about vaccine rights or vaccine legal, political news issues, and we're glad to hear your opinions or to answer your questions to the best of our ability.
That Hi, number... Alan.
Oh, hey,
this is
Debbie.
I've called into your show, to our show, and it's great to hear the questions that people out there send to you via email or telephone, or maybe they leave a message on Facebook even, and it's great to hear the kind of concerns that people have and your answers to them. I think it is time for us to take a quick break, and then we'll be back again with more current events.
Hello everyone, Proof here again. I want to let you know about our brand new sponsor, Silver Leaf Tea. Now, as you guys know that have listened to me for years, I am a tea aficionado. I have hundreds of different flavors and styles at my house, and Silver Leaf has exactly the kind of stuff that I look for. I love loose tea, great antioxidants. I just love the taste of it, and this Silver Leaf has black, they have green, they have white, they have organic. Great for hot tea and iced tea. Silver Leaf Tea, it's right on our website, freedomizerradio.com. And check it out and order it. Silver Leaf Tea.
Thank you for tuning in to Freedomizer Radio, where we have a 24/7 chat room where you can come and share what's going on in the world with people of like mind. Anything and everything against the New World Order. Dial 347-324-3704 to catch our live show. Beginning at 9 in the morning, Pacific Standard Time, Monday through Friday till midnight, and 9 to 9 on Saturday and Sunday. Take us to the beach. Take us to the park. Take us on a walk with the dog. Only on Freedomizer Radio.
Hello again, Freedomist. Proof is here, and I want to talk to you about a brand new soda maker called SodaStream. Now, the Proof House has had SodaStream for about a year, and we love the thing. We use it quite often. With SodaStream, you can have fresh-made soda in seconds. One of the big things we like about it is that there's no high-fructose corn syrup and no aspartame. There's over 60 flavors, or you can create your own. Not just sodas, they also have iced teas and energy drinks. Here at the Proof House, we make egg cream sodas all the time. Some other facts to consider here, there's no electricity, no more wasted bottles and cans, and The most important thing is that it tastes great. Keep in mind, too, this is a perfect family present for Christmas, or, hey, just surprise the family with something great. Also, for a limited time, there's free shipping, so go to freedomizerradio.com and look for the SodaStream link, and I hope you check out the product. That's SodaStream right on freedomizerradio.com.
Are we back? Debbie? Is Debbie with us? Okay, I'm not sure. We may have lost Debbie there. I'll keep on talking here. See if we get her back.
Antiwarteeth.com is to promote anti-war activism, unlocking minds and shattering paradigms. By purchasing one of these t-shirts, you become an anti-war activist. www.antiwarteeth.com, bringing peace and human rights to the mainstream. Buy it, wear it, become it. Anti-war tea.
We are so pleased to announce ESP Botanicals is now sponsoring Freedomizer Radio. They have a bath and body line of products made for keeping your skin beautiful and healthy, but it's also for psoriasis, eczema, rosacea, and dermatitis treatment. They are meticulously prepared skincare products made from the best botanicals available, committed to buying only from the growers when they can and using the highest quality cold-pressed oils, botanical organic additives, the best steam expressed essential oils, and the least processed carrier oils that are available in today's marketplace. Pamper yourself for someone special in your life. Give the gift of beautiful, glowing skin. ESPBotanicals.com. Thank you so much for supporting us at Freedomizer Radio.
Hi, this is Debbie Bruck. We are back. I apologize for any delays that we have had today. And Alan, are you able to hear me okay?
I hear you great, Debbie.
Okay, I was on mute, so I was talking to myself out here. And so we are back and talking about vaccines and your rights, the law, legalities, exemptions, and waivers. And we're also going to be talking about current events. I have a couple of items that are on my agenda here. From the medical standpoint, vaccinations are meant to protect the immune system, to save lives, and reduce contagious disease. However, over the past decade, the opposite has occurred in populations. From India all the way to the purpose in mass vaccinations, all the way to local towns and in the United States and in Australia, more wild, virulent strains of these contagious diseases have cropped up. And that is due to the survival mechanisms of vaccines and viral entities in the world that can mutate very, very rapidly. And what we can do in the lab certainly cannot move as quickly or find means to remove these viral elements. So there's a particular item in the news. 800 more children are permanently harmed by vaccines. This was February 15th, 2013, or March, which originally was published. We've been talking about this at length, about the narcolepsy, that is incurable sleeping disorder that has caused hallucinations, nightmares, and even paralysis, and skyrocketed by about 1,700%. That's, you know, is it? I think about 100%, but 1,700% in children and teenagers under the age of 17 following the widespread administration of Pandemrix. So it's back in the news, Alan, and scientists have determined at the time that mass vaccination campaigns for pandemics were directly associated with this otherwise inexplicable spike in cases of narcolepsy.
Well, Debbie, you know, this is such a disturbing article and issue. We've been following this, as you know, in the previous separate Homeopathy World Community radio show. Since the pandemic, when the issue first came up, and there was questions about this, and I kept seeing articles every few weeks or months, and it has now been 3 years or more since we were first hearing about some of this, and the data just keeps, and information and reports just keep pouring in. There was, of course, lots of positioning going on. Well, we're not sure if it's the vaccine and it hasn't been proven and so forth and so on. And it is important to be careful and cautious about jumping to conclusions, especially something as serious as this. But it's just been so clear. And in the early reports I was hearing were limited to Scandinavian countries. And now we're hearing them from countries around the world. I don't know if this particular article was talking about it, but a specific area or region. But the reports of problems with the swine flu vaccine and this specific problem, and seems to have been quite unique to the swine flu vaccine and perhaps even particular manufacturers' swine flu vaccines, because there were, I think, at least four or five different major manufacturers producing swine flu vaccines. So disturbing. This is a condition, narcolepsy, which is so debilitating. It's hard for me to even think about it for very long because it's, you know, the idea that people just sort of randomly fall asleep or have hallucinations, some of them. Imagine that as a part of your daily life, how debilitating that would be, how your future would so radically be limited and changed by such a condition. And there are many different degrees and variations, you know, in the condition. Some, of course, are going to have more severe cases than others. But, Debbie, it just sort of makes me so sad to imagine what these children must be going through for something as, in the grand scheme of things, it's all relative, but something as benign as the flu or the swine flu. And it turned out, the swine flu, of course, got a lot of hype for being, you know, much more severe and dangerous than the regular flu. It turned out to be much less virulent and much less severe in its effects on people than the seasonal flu. And
do you think that there is a legal issue here if roughly 5 million Swedes were vaccinated for this H1N1 during the 2009-2010 pandemic and it didn't pan out to be a real pandemic? So is there some sort of a legal issue that people can take to the courts?
Well, it's hard for me to give a clear answer to that because every country has its own legal system and what would constitute, you know, a legal case is just something that's going to have variation to one degree or another from country to country and here in the U.S. from state to state. So it's really hard to give a general answer there. I have certainly read of compensation in some countries. I remember specifically Ireland comes to mind. They were having the same problem in Ireland with a significant number of children coming down with one version or level or degree of severity or another of narcolepsy from the swine flu vaccines, and there was talk about compensation from the government in those instances. Here in the U.S., as a general proposition, governments have enacted laws protecting themselves. It is really difficult most of the time to sue the government for anything. The governments, state and federal governments and local governments in the U.S. have broad immunity, and I'm really not trying to make a pun here, broad immunity from lawsuits. And on the practical level, even when you have a right to sue the government, good luck with that. I had an instance, I'll try to be brief here, but I think it's important for the concept. I'm brief because it's not a vaccine issue, but I had a case a few years ago where a clerk of court made a mistake. I mean, we're all human. We all make mistakes. So I'm not criticizing the clerk. But this particular mistake resulted in my client, a gentleman who later became my client, going to jail erroneously. He didn't do anything wrong. He did all the right things in whatever was going on in his life at that point, and he ends up in jail. And he ends up in a jail that is hot and stinky and smelly, and he's suffering emotionally in the sense that he's like, what am I doing here? I haven't done anything, and this kind of stuff going on. It was just really, you know, not traumatic in the sense that it caused him any sort of permanent, you know, emotional, psychological disability, but you can imagine someone being under tremendous stress if they're in jail and they're not supposed to be in jail, and the conditions at the time as well are really bad ones, and that just sort of exacerbates the whole experience. Well, we sued the clerk for negligence because that, under North Carolina law, is something that you're allowed to do. And the short story here is that the judge threw the case out. The defendant, in this case, since it was a government entity, they were defended or represented by the state attorney general's office, and the attorney for them filed a motion to dismiss, and then the court says, sure, no problem, I'll dismiss that. Now, you're hearing one side of a two-sided story, so take it for what it is, but I honestly believe that there was absolutely no grounds, no proper grounds for throwing the case out. Basically, at that early stage, the defense would have to show that there just wasn't even a proper claim being made, and there was very clearly a proper claim. This was not anything fancy. It was a straight, simple negligence cause of action. And I honestly believe that the judge just took the position of nobody's going to sue a clerk in my court, and threw the case out. So even when you have grounds, you know, when the politics is against you, good luck. So government's really hard to hold them accountable. In any, you know, theoretically we can replace the elected officials if we don't like what's going on, but good luck with that as well, because who gets elected is not about truth, it's about who controls the flow of information and puts out whatever information they want. That's, you know, what people base their decisions on for the most part, information in the mainstream media, and whoever has the money controls those and gets what information they want. So if you see something that is going wrong with an elected official, you're certainly free to try to raise awareness about that so people will replace that elected official, but you know, sometimes there are hurdles there. So there's some serious problems with the system. You know, don't get me started on that, Debbie. I'll never stop talking. But
well, you know what? It's important, the point that you're making, because I recently answered a comment on one of my blogs concerning bisphosphonol A, BPA, in plastics, and they're prevalent all over our environment, and it's almost like we've opened Pandora's box and we can't put it back in. And a person was feeling rather hopeless, and we don't want people to feel hopeless in terms of their rights about making choices for healthcare, whether they want a vaccine or not, or what they can do to protect themselves and things that are occurring by force. And so I think it's really important that people are aware, educated, and know what's happening in the news and around them in their community, but they also learn how they can collaborate with others, and their voice can be heard when more people come together about these issues.
It is really important what you're saying, Debbie, and I just really want to underscore that while it's a critical prerequisite for us to inform ourselves, and we really appreciate all the folks who listen to our show, and we do want your input, if you have input about how we're doing or what else we could do to make the show better. But it's not enough to only inform ourselves. We have to go the next step. The alternative vaccine community is growing, it's well-educated, there's tons of great information out there. Let's keep doing that and more of that. But we've got to organize in effective ways if we're going to actually bring about any changes. And one of the most important arenas to do that is in the legislative arena. And I can't recommend strongly enough that folks go to the NVIC, that's National Vaccine Information Center, nonprofit organization, go to the NVIC's advocacy portal. You can get there at nvic.org, and there will be links on the NVIC's webpage to their advocacy portal, or you can go directly to the portal. It's NV, as in Victor, IC, advocacy.org. And this is a website that is set up to enable people to go to the website. You can join for free. You can keep up with legislative, with bills, pending bills in your state, and find out very quickly who your representatives are. This system has been beautifully designed by Dawn Richardson and her husband of the NVIC. And Don is the director of this project. They have put together an amazing system here to make it very easy for people to participate in the vaccine legislative process with a minimal amount of time. You know, it used to be if you were going to be legislatively active, it's another part-time job or even full-time job, and, you know, forget trying to do anything else. Well, that's not the case anymore. Now you can join the NVIC advocacy portal and just check in once every couple of few days, every week or two, when there's an action item in your state. If there's a bill that would require more vaccines, you can contact your representatives very easily through the portal to oppose that. If there's a bill pending that would give you more freedom of choice, you can contact your representatives and find out who they are through the portal very quickly to offer your support. So, it's a great way to find out what's going on in your state and to get a quick overview about what's going on around the country. And it is really important in this arena, Debbie, that we take a look at what's going on around the rest of the country, because what happens in some states with vaccines tends to many times show up in other states. We've had at least 5 states in the last 2 years alone that have changed laws to make it harder for parents to get exemptions for their kids in school, for example. There's a trend sweeping the country right now, and some of those laws are unconstitutional. They're overstepping constitutional boundaries to limit parents' access to exemptions. So it's really important that we become involved and that we participate.
It's interesting how they like to start with the children. You know, change the child's mind or brainwash the child to let them believe that vaccines are going to save them, protect them, be good for them. I've even recently heard how vaccines are healthy for you. I mean, really healthy for you, and protect you and many other of your organ systems, which is, in my mind, my personal opinion, is bogus based on all of the information that's coming out now about the adverse effects of vaccines.
Yeah, that's a polite word for it, Debbie.
Well, I really want to emphasize this in my own personal opinion. And, you know, there are many other people who would stand behind me, including people like Dr. Suzanne Humphreys and many others. I'm sure you have a list of authorities.
Oh, sure.
Medical
Dr. Mayor
authorities.
Eisenstein, Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, I feel sure would back you, and many, many, many others we could list here. But vaccines are vitamins, Debbie. You know, you don't have to take a multivitamin anymore. Just get a vaccine. Don't they have one for that? I'm sure they will if they don't already. But no,
there will be a vaccine for every kind of disease to mankind, because that is where you're looking. And it's always that story of the man who is lost there. Either their coin or their eyeglasses or whatever it is, and he's searching all over the ground, and another guy comes over to him and says, "What are you doing over here? It's dark and he can't see any. Oh no, it's light. There's a lamppost there, and he's looking under the lamppost for it, but he didn't really drop it anywhere near the lamppost. There's just light there, and so that's where he's going to, and so that's what they've done. They've focused their attention on the vaccines as the panacea, as the panacea, rather, of the way to find health for disease. And that's, they're not looking at all the other things that are out there that can really boost the immune system and improve the person's ability to ward off disease, all disease, not just pinpoint one thing or another.
You know, Debbie, there are literally hundreds of vaccines being researched and developed as we speak, not just for the kinds of diseases, you know, infectious diseases that we think of as typically being associated with vaccines or that vaccines are for, but things for like obesity, cocaine addiction, things that I, as a non-medical person, say, well, what do you mean? That's not caused by a virus or a bacteria. What do you mean a vaccine for cocaine addiction or a vaccine for obesity or just strange and crazy things? At least it seems that way. But you're right with the word panacea, but I'm going to, in my more cynical but frankly honest opinion, say the panacea here is a financial one because and I know I say this a lot, Debbie, but I really think it bears underscoring. You know, we are in a country here in the U.S. now where the federal government has subsidizes vaccine development to the tune of billions of dollars a year. The federal government has granted the vaccine industry immunity from suit, so they have no liability or responsibility, virtually no liability or responsibility. And on a practical level, you can pretty much say no responsibility for the adverse effects or no accountability for the adverse effects of their products. When people are injured and killed by vaccines, the vaccine manufacturers get off scot-free. They have no responsibility for that. And the state and federal governments both mandate vaccines for more and more people and more vaccines for more and more people. So it's a financial panacea. I mean, what more could you ask if you throw morality and ethics out the window? What more could you ask in just pure dollars and cents terms for a business? So it's no wonder that there are hundreds of vaccines under development because the government's going to pay you to develop it. The government's going to buy the vaccines from you. The government makes you immune from suit. The government's going to require everybody to get your product.
That sounds like a whole system is in place.
A whole web of
finance and profiteering and politics.
Yeah, now it is replete with gross conflicts of interest. You know, the problems with this system, you know, it's inherently unethical. And these are, you know,
I know that I've opened up the door to like an hour's worth of talking, but I think that we have somebody who is going to want to come in and talk with us today and say something while we also go to break again, and we have a lot of things that we're going to talk about, and I think we don't want to kind of start something brand new and then take a break. So is it okay if we take a break now?
Sure. We'll go ahead and go to break now.
Okay.
And folks, stay with us. You're listening to Vaccines and Your Rights in the U.S. with Attorney Alan Phillips and Homeopathy World Community founder Debbie Bruck. We'll see you in a couple of minutes.
Okay. So is Cheryl on the line?
I am. Thank you, Debbie.
Hi. I'm so excited to have somebody talking to us.
Come on in.
Oh,
thank you very much. Thank you very much. I wanted to make a couple announcements as they're related to your program, and also thank you so much for being here. You guys are awesome together.
Yeah, we've been doing it for 3 years, so we kind of bounce off of each other.
We do our best. I think we've gotten better over those years too, Debbie.
Okay. Well, this is Cheryl from Freedomizer Radio, a.k.a. See the Power, and I wanted to make a couple little announcements. If you're new to the whole vaccine issue and you want to share what's going on here at Freedomizer Radio, I'd like for you please to know that you can find the podcast for the previous two shows, which were absolutely wonderful and excellent. Thank you. Thank you so much.
I'm glad you got to hear them.
Yes. Finally, I got caught up. You know, I would love to listen to every show here at Freedomizer Radio, and but, you know, got to have a life, right?
Yeah, we do have lots of things that we have to juggle and attend to, like our children, our grandchildren, you know, our husband or wife.
Yeah.
You there?
Yes, yes. So if you'd like to listen to the previous two programs for Alan Phillips, please come to freedomizerradio.com and check under FR Tour. You can always find the podcast there under the archive list. So we'd like for you to know that. Also, if you're new to the advocacy programs and all of these types of issues and what all of these things that Alan is talking about, there are several very, very good groups on Facebook that you might want to join. And please check out my section at seethepower.org for vaccines, where I'll be adding some highlights there for what's going on here at Freedomizer Radio, podcast links, et cetera, for Alan's programs, because I think they're really, really, really important. So thank you, guys.
Thank you, Cheryl. Really appreciate that information. And
yeah.
we'll try to remember to remind folks about that in the future as well, where to get the podcast.
Okay.
So we're going to play. You're welcome, Cheryl. Everybody's going to check out seethepower.org. And everybody's going to go to homeopathyworldcommunity.com and Pandemic Response Project. Is it .com, Alan?
Yes, it's a .com.
Yep, it's a .com. And on Facebook, we're all there, too. So we've got tons of activity and news items and also inspirational things to listen to, because we need that light to improve our outlook. We can't constantly talk about all of this dark stuff. And because we're going to be getting into that. So what we're going to do is, Alan, I'm going to move over to the host location and put on some of the specials that you've got going here on Freedomizer Radio, like ESP Botanicals and Liberty Stickers. Hang in there with us.
We are so pleased to announce ESP Botanicals is now sponsoring Freedomizer Radio. They have a bath and body line of products made for keeping your skin beautiful and healthy, but it's also for psoriasis, eczema, rosacea, and dermatitis treatment. They are meticulously prepared skincare products made from the best botanicals available, committed to buying only from the growers when they can and using the highest quality cold-pressed oils, botanical organic additives, the best steam express essential oils, and the least processed carrier oils that are available in today's marketplace. Pamper yourself or someone special in your life. Give the gift of beautiful, glowing skin. ESPBotanicals.com. Thank you so much for supporting us at Freedomizer Radio.
You know the Constitution like the back of your hand. You've read books, listened to podcasts, attended lectures, surfed websites, and watched videos. You've made liberty your life's goal, but something seems to be missing. Stickers from LibertyStickers.com. Exercise your freedom of speech with the world's most dangerous bumper stickers. That's LibertyStickers.com. But wait. There's more. You can buy Liberty stickers wholesale. Get them for 99 cents each when you put 100 or more in your shopping cart in any combination. Sell them or give them away. They're great for gun shows, flea markets, fairs, outreach, and more. Earn extra money, promote freedom, and spread the word. Need custom stickers, labels, or decals for your organization or business? Liberty Stickers makes them. Go to LibertyStickers.com to order or call 877-873-9626. LibertyStickers.com, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Hey guys, Proof here. Guess what? I just got a cell phone. Hey, for everyone that knows me, I'm not a fan of cell phones, but I just signed up with a company called Solovay. And Solovay is offering a plan right now with unlimited phone, text, and web for only $49 a month. Plus, if you refer a friend or two, you get a discounted rate for everyone you refer, for as long as they have Solovay, not just for the first month, but for the whole time that person has Solovay. You sign up enough people, and Solovay pays you every month. What other cell phone company is going to pay you for service? Anyway, go to Solovay.com/freedomizer. That's Solovay, Solavei.com/freedomizer. Learn all about it. Plus, and another kicker, if you sign up three people under you, you'll get another month for free as well. Plus, they're going to pay you cash. Anyway, Solovay.com/freedomizer.
Okay, we are back, and we're going to be talking about an important issue that comes from Infowars.com, reported February 15, 2013, not very long ago. We learned there's an article called Merck Study Pushes Antidepressant Use with Vaccines. What could this all be all about? Mixing up these two types of drugs and the potential that perhaps the pharmaceutical company sees going down this pathway. It's a complicated web of destruction and deception. Vaccinations contain a mix of ingredients. We already know that. Many adjuvants, heavy metals, aluminum, MSG, all sorts of things are in there. And most of them are toxic to the human body and created with the intent to stimulate the immune system to respond to foreign agents. Well, it's definitely going to do that. It's also going to make people extremely hypersensitive. I mean, we're hearing these stories of all the children today who are never, ever allergic to peanuts. There's some peanut oil in these vaccines. And why do you think kids, I mean, I was on an airplane a month ago, and the person next to me was having an attack just because they handed out bags of peanuts. The person didn't touch them, eat them, or anything else, but just the fact of opening it and getting those oils into the air means that there's some kind of transference of energy that that individual is hypersensitive to. So it's like sending in, this is my metaphor here, it's like sending in sheep disguised in wolf's clothing. Injections stimulate the body to get out the army of antibodies and antigens to surround, capture, and eliminate the intruders. When blood samples are taken after the inoculation, the physicians and the researchers can take a reading to detect whether there was a response. So now, what do we learn? In the Oxford Journals of Clinical Infectious Disease, February 13, 2013, it's pretty recent, Vacerella zoster, that's shingles, virus-specific immune responses to a herpes zoster vaccine in elderly recipients with major depression and the impact of antidepressant medication. So they're taking a look at a group of people in the study who were taking antidepressants and also got this shingles vaccine, the Vacerella zoster virus vaccine. And they were making a conclusion and trying to find out whether there was an improvement in the response. And the response is based on lab study of the titer. Is the titer for the attenuated Vacerella zoster virus improved or not affected? And so this is what they look for, and this is what they decide means that you're having an improved immune system reaction. I do not necessarily think that that is a positive conclusion. It's more likely, will the person be able to respond to an outbreak, or will they perhaps now be more susceptible to having shingles? So
let me jump in just a second here, because I don't think you yet quite spelled out exactly what's going
okay,
on here.
Okay, you spell it out.
In just really simple terms, there's a study here claiming that if you're depressed and taking antidepressants, then your shingles vaccine works better.
Uh-huh.
And that's really the bottom line what they're saying here, yeah. And you're raising some really good points here, Debbie. Not only is that really a valid conclusion? And please continue, because I think you're questioning what does this conclusion really mean. But also afterwards, let's talk about what are the implications, potential implications of the study, because I think it's got some very serious ones. But please continue.
Exactly. And I think that this is one of the problems with mainstream media, although I would say I think that they're getting better. I think that mainstream media wants to report better and wants to do in-depth report and really get the facts out to people. So I applaud them for that. But the problem is when something, there's a headline and a conclusion, and then that just gets spread virally out to all of the media in the news online and in print, that makes a conclusion that might be an error. So, and then people say, okay, great. I don't want to get shingles as an adult because it's not a very pleasant type of disease. It comes from the same virus that you would get chickenpox as a child. And once you get chickenpox before the age of 3 or around that, when you get to school age, I think, you get the chickenpox because all your friends would get it. And then you have immunity for life. But this is not the way the system is now working. Now they want you to have a chickenpox vaccine when you're little, so, and then you probably have to get boosters because it doesn't last. And now you're going to get a more virulent strain, or when an adult gets the chickenpox, it's really horrendous. I mean, Dr. Otto on the last show, yesterday, we were talking about skin diseases and outbreaks and eruptions. He's been doing a three-part series on that, and he said that a 23-year-old young lady came in with septicemia, fever, on this chickenpox outbreak. That's, you know, because of, due to vaccinations and not allowing the body to have a regular response to natural disease, which he explained it thoroughly, is the chickenpox only lasts for 3 days, and then within 7 to 10 days, it's all clearing up. Where she came in 7 to 10 days later with this fever, and her whole body was covered in the pox. So this is the problem that we are seeing today, that adults are getting shingles, which is an outbreak from the herpes zoster virus, and it is more debilitating, extremely painful, and could be eventually life-threatening if it's not cleared up. So this is why they're telling us, they're trying to find out what is the relationship between the antidepressants that people are on, and they don't seem to get shingles as much. I could go on further, Alan. Do you have
a comment? What they're saying is that taking the antidepressant makes the vaccine more effective in whatever way that they measure that, although they usually measure that by looking at the titer levels, as you were saying. But, boy, there's several different issues in here, Debbie, and I'd love to jump in with a couple of them.
Yeah,
first of all,
shingles
is something that, for the most part, prior to the introduction of the chickenpox vaccine, which is something different than the shingles vaccine that we were initially talking about, but the chickenpox vaccine came into use in the early 90s, if I remember correctly, and probably more widespread use across the 90s as states gradually began to incorporate that into the mandatory immunization schedule for children. Prior to that time, shingles was something that would rarely occur in people under 50. It's something that is primarily a older middle age or senior citizen issue, and my understanding anyway is that people who get shingles are people who had the chickenpox, wild virus chickenpox, as kids, and so apparently the virus can stay with you in some latent form, and in some small percentage of people can contribute to or cause shingles later in life for who knows what combination, you know, potential different reasons or combination of reasons. What we saw after the introduction of the chickenpox vaccine, though, is that we saw shingles happening in children and young adults at a substantially increased.
Hello, is there somebody on the line? Hello, did somebody
call? Hi, I'm not sure what happened there. Looked like I got muted somehow while I was talking, and I wasn't touching anything.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, that would have been you. Okay. Well, in any case, if I'm talking too much, you just tell me on the air, Debbie. You don't have to do this. No, I'm just kidding. But anyway, we saw shingles showing up in children after the introduction of the chickenpox vaccine, so it looked like the vaccine was causing shingles. And now, chickenpox to begin with, when it was originally, the vaccine was originally introduced, it was not introduced as something that would cause, that would prevent serious problems. It was introduced as something that would save parents money, because if your child gets the chickenpox vaccine and then doesn't get chickenpox, then look, you don't have to stay home, you know, from work for a week to take care of your child. So it was the first vaccine that was ever introduced just purely and merely as economic convenience to the parents. Well, they've changed their tune since then, and now we have learned quite mysteriously that since that initial marketing push apparently was not very effective, we have now learned that chickenpox is this horrible disease that can kill you. Well, it has a 99.9999% recovery rate. There's no 100% safe, you know, choice when you're talking about infectious disease and vaccines. There are going to be rare instances of problems from both the diseases and the vaccines, and, you know, that leads to this ever-ongoing question we debate about, you know, which risk is greater or lesser, and that's a whole other conversation we'll save for a different time. But we saw shingles happening in a substantially increased rate after the introduction of the chickenpox vaccine. But this is a separate issue here. You know, should you, as a middle-aged or senior citizen, get a shingles shot so that you don't get shingles? Well, you know, there are a lot of things we could debate with that, but this particular article is saying if you're depressed and you take antidepressants, you've got a better reaction. You know, it's been well established, for example, in peer-reviewed published medical studies that flu shots are ineffective in the elderly. Actually, they're ineffective in anybody, but the studies that have looked at the elderly, you know, have looked over a period of decades, and has there been a reduction in death or other complications from the flu because of the widespread use of flu shots in the elderly? And the answer in the medical literature is a pretty clear no, there hasn't been any benefit. But it's the only vaccine we have to get it anyway. That's the kind of, promotion we get from the propaganda, whatever you want to call it, from the pharmaceutical industry. But I'm really concerned about the implications of this article, Debbie. If it, are we going to start hearing that, well, taking antidepressants is a way to improve the effectiveness of vaccines, so everybody needs to get an antidepressant, and hey, even if you're not depressed, you won't get depressed because now you're taking an antidepressant. I mean, I can just, you know, imagine where this is going. We have seen, as I think you're aware, Debbie, in over the last several years, a dramatic increase in pushing that children be assessed, and more children are being prescribed and administered psychotropic drugs. This is not just a speculation. This is a statistical fact, from what I understand, that the number of children on one form or another of mental health medications, including, of course, antidepressants, has just gone up dramatically over recent years. This is a whole new market that until a few years ago was really largely untapped by the pharmaceutical industry. So they've been pushing for changes in definitions of conditions and diseases so that they'd be more encompassing, so that more children can be diagnosed with these conditions, so that more children can be prescribed these medications. And, of course, that has raised some real serious questions when we see many of the children and young adults associated with some of the school and other shootings in recent years have been kids or young adults who were on some of these drugs, and some of these drugs have been shown to cause increased violence in the people who are taking them. So just, I'm sort of wandering a bit here, Debbie, but there are just many, many issues and
We're making many, many links to drugs and pharmaceutical companies and the state and the government as what I consider drug pushers, whereas we should be living naturally, as Greg Glazer would say, living naturally and letting the body heal, letting the body take care of the way that is to be living free, you know, not being bound by limitations and restrictions, as long as you're not infringing on another person's dignity, respect, and they're going over a line of hurting another person. And so I think every time we say the answer to your problem is a drug, we're not letting our soul and spirit be free to speak out and to fulfill its mission in this world. And it gets very spiritual because, you know, if you've ever been with a person at end of life, you don't want them to be drugged. You want them to pass to the next world completely, you know, with clarity, knowing that they're going to be moving into this new place. And the same thing, while we're living on this earth, we want to be completely free and living with a clear mind of what we're doing to be of service to the community. And with drugs, it's really hard to do that. To push it onto children constantly or to say this is the answer for every pain and struggle, it's not the answer. And so we have to be looking at the alternatives. Do you want to continue any more about this particular issue of the connection between varicella zoster virus and the results of positive results, they say, of using antidepressants at the same time, that they do have a conclusion?
Well, it concerns me because, for example, I use the flu vaccine as an example. There's lots of research showing that flu vaccines are basically ineffective. The independent research finds the research that favors flu vaccines to be not legitimate research. And the independent research, you know, underscores that. So I am just concerned, are we going to start hearing people say, well, take an antidepressant along with your flu shot, you know, because that's going to enhance its effectiveness, or any other vaccine for that. So I don't know. I mean, I hope I'm wildly wrong. Let's, you know, we'll pay attention to the news and see if we see any progression of this idea. You know, let's see what happens. But, you know, Debbie,
okay,
I wanted
to... Okay, so can I mention that we do have folks on Freedomizer Radio right now, and they are on the chat that is available. And I really appreciate that folks are listening and giving their links to items that they have found in the news. There's one that somebody has recommended reading, the number one vaccine we need is illegal by Lee Hybe, MD, who is an orthopedic surgeon specializing in spinal surgery. She is the past president of the Association of the American Physicians and Surgeons, a free market medical organization. And as it seems that she must have a weekly column in WND Diversions. And she's talking about why she's skeptical of the modern government vaccination programs and violently objects to mandates. She marvels at the purported horrible epidemic of flu. I don't think there is an epidemic myself. We are supposedly currently experiencing, I guess that's why she's skeptical also, an epidemic so bad that anyone not getting vaccinated is labeled some sort of bourgeois antisocial criminal. Wait, where are all the supposed desperately ill people? You know, I haven't really met anybody who got a really bad case of the flu myself. Did you?
You know, that's a really interesting point. I've been hearing about how horrible the flu is, and maybe I'm just hanging out in healthy circles or something, but I actually haven't heard of anybody say they had a horrible case of the flu this year, so I haven't seen that in my circles. Interesting point here. But,
yeah, so I recommend going over on doing a search for L-E-E, Lee Hybe, H-I-E-B-M-D, and she has this. And I want to thank those folks who are out there on Freedomizer Radio chatting it up and talking about this issue and telling your friends and warning your friends, You know, every single person I've ever spoken to said, I got the vaccine and then I got the flu and it was pretty bad. So after that, I never got it. It took it again. That's the most of what I hear from everybody of all ages.
And I just want to underscore that, Debbie, because as I've mentioned before recently, I had the, I want to say, great pleasure and honor and at times almost overwhelming task of working with about 150 healthcare workers around the country this past fall and early winter in about 26 or so states. And I heard this story over and over and over again from nurses and other healthcare workers where they say, you know, I've been working here 30 years. I never got the flu. I've never gotten the flu vaccine. And, you know, and then of course they're complaining. Now I have to get it or lose my job. What do I do? But I hear this over and over again. You know, I either never get sick or I almost never get sick and I don't get the flu shot. And it's the ones who get the flu shot every year who end up taking time off, you know, during the winter to stay home and recover from being sick. You know, of course, this is all anecdotal, so there's nothing scientific we can conclude from this, but it certainly raises in my mind a legitimate question when I hear it over and over again directly from healthcare professionals about, well, what are we really doing here? You know, is the flu vaccine really helping anyone, or is it really, you know, just creating a market for more pharmaceutical over-the-counter or prescription drugs to treat the flu because people get sick? So they get paid to develop the vaccine, they get paid to manufacture it, and then they get paid to treat the ill effects of their vaccines. It's a very disturbing little cycle. But I wanted to change tracks here, Deb, because, boy, I tell you, we get in a certain amount of depth with a lot of these issues, which is great. But I wanted to touch on something just very briefly. Hopefully it'll be even have an element of humor to it, an article I stumbled on just this morning and only just this morning posted. By the way, folks, a lot of the articles that we talk about are articles that are linked from the news page of the Pandemic Response Project. So if you go to pandemicresponseproject.com, go to the news page, many more articles there than we'll ever have time to cover on the air. Lots of great vaccine articles. So a new one this morning. This comes from a website that's called VaccineLiberationArmy.com. Flu vaccine for your pet. More more insanity from Merck, big business making animals sick. Apparently, Merck now has a canine influenza vaccine, a dog flu vaccine. Because influenza, as everybody knows, is an important illness that poses an emerging threat to all dogs. There's an interesting correlation, I think, in the healthcare world between the development of a product and the subsequent emergence of a need for that product.
Well, you know, it's really scary what you're talking about, because I've written extensively about viruses jumping species, and this is not a funny issue. Go ahead.
Well, I didn't want to go into much depth. I just wanted to make that mention. You know, in order to keep myself within parameters that I can deal with as effectively as I can, I have increasingly over the years limited my focus, not exclusively, but primarily to vaccine legal issues and political issues, as opposed to some of the more inherently medical aspects vaccines and pets and animals and so forth. But of course, I see a lot of this other information and try to keep up with it at least peripherally. But ordinarily, I wouldn't be talking much about vaccines for dogs. Like, I don't know a lot about the rabies vaccine, for example, and issues with pets, although I do know from veterinarians and others that we have essentially the same issues, you know, with pets and animals and vaccine adverse events that we do with humans. And there certainly are people who have, you know, serious concerns, pet owners and others, about vaccines for pets and animals. And so it's a critical issue. It's an important one. I don't mean to belittle it or downplay it whatsoever, but I just couldn't let this one go. And I'll add just a brief comment in addition to this, that to my great surprise, when I first learned of this, there are close to a dozen states that actually have medical exemptions for dogs. I've got information about that on the vaccinerights.com website. on the exemptions page, go all the way down to the bottom, and I have a little bit of information there about exemptions for pets. I didn't think there was any such thing as an exemption for pets, and delighted to have been wrong about that and learned. I don't think we'll ever see philosophical and religious exemptions for pets, because they don't have, at least as we define it for humans, philosophical and religious beliefs. And while we can say that for legal purposes our children's, our minor children's religion is our religion as their parents, I think it's unlikely that anybody would extend that to cover pets. But I do think it's feasible to seek, and apparently because some states are already doing this, to try to get medical exemptions for pets. Should have that in every state. And so that's a good legislative agenda item for us in the vaccine arena. Not sure how feasible it is to go beyond that to something that's more of a philosophical kind of exemption, which would be a place where we could address, probably better address, the hypothetical future harm to a pet. Because if medical exemptions...
We have an announcement from one of our listeners. This is dated February 16, 2013, more than 582,000 chickens hit by Mexican bird flu outbreak. So the Mexican government has announced that many chickens in the center of the state exposed to the bird flu virus. You know, I wonder what they do, because in the past they have killed millions of chickens and they've killed millions of pigs due to the fear that is spread when the animals get these types of viruses, thinking, it says Mexico was hit hard by the H7N3 bird flu virus in 2012, forcing the slaughter of millions of chickens. And the vaccination of millions more. See, this is the problem. The problem is when you vaccinate all of these animals, you push the viruses to mutate to new forms, more virulent forms that we don't have anything to cover with them. So you really have to give those chickens some sunflower seed oil and calendula, marigold, and everything else, and better living conditions, and that's going to improve them. So I just threw that in. Time for a break in the news, and then we will be back. You want to say a couple of words before we move to the next set?
Well, the hour has flown by, Debbie. As always, it's a great pleasure to have you. This is Debbie Bruck, founder of Homeopathy World Community at homeopathyworldcommunity.com, and I'm Alan Phillips, vaccine right attorney at vaccinerights.com, and you've been listening to Vaccines and Your Rights in the U.S., and every Thursday at, let me see if I get my time frames correct here. I think it's 10 o'clock Pacific and 1 o'clock Eastern Time, two-hour segment starting with a half hour of information about your rights and questions about legal rights for vaccine exemptions and waivers, followed by an hour of discussion about some of the current events and news topics with Debbie and myself. And then the next half hour coming up today and the last half hour in our two-hour segment each week, featuring Debbie Bruck talking about homeopathy. What are we going to be talking about, or what will you be talking about today with homeopathy, Debbie?
Well, if you want to stick around, we're going to be talking about mind over skin, the mind-body-skin connection. And I mentioned earlier, my Wednesday show on Blog Talk Radio, Homeopathy World Community, with Dr. Adil Chimpalawala Kasim, cardiologist, has been teaching us all about eruptions on the skin and how he deals with them homeopathically through energy medicine. So this is a new article that I found, and I want to talk about that connection.
Yeah, it's not enough, Debbie, to just complain about the mainstream medical system. We have to look for solutions, and the work you do with homeopathy and educating people on the air is a big part in my mind, and I think objectively in the world as well, because those are two separate things, a big part of the solution here. So it's terrific that you're doing the work that you do, that you bring the knowledge that you have to the air. I hope folks will stay tuned beyond the break to educate themselves further. I'm going to hopefully, as gracefully as I can, bow out to get back to other things here in my office, but it's been great, as always, sharing the airwaves with you, Debbie, and I look forward to being back with you again next week.
Okay, we'll be doing that. And in the meantime, hang in there. We're going to have a couple of items today, Solove and Shade, the motion picture, and a couple of other things, and then we're going to talk about our skin.
Hey guys, Proof here. Guess what? I just got a cell phone. Hey, for everyone that knows me, I'm not a fan of cell phones, but I just signed up with a company called Solove. And Solove is offering a plan right now with unlimited phone, text, and web for only $49 a month. Plus, if you refer a friend or two, you get a discounted rate for everyone you refer, for as long as they have Solove, not just for the first month, but for the whole time that person has Solove. You sign up enough people, and Solove pays you every month. What other cell phone company is going to pay you for service? Anyway, go to solove.com/freedomizer. That's Solove, solabei.com/freedomizer. Learn all about it. Plus, and another kicker, if you sign up 3 people under you, you'll get another month for free as well. Plus, they're going to pay you cash. Anyway, solove.com/freedomizer.
Get ready for the epic new documentary adventure ride of your life. Shade, the motion picture. A view into the globalist domain. Annabella's and Burma's film.
Nothing in this world works the way you think it does. Nothing. Governments do not operate the way you think they do. Banks do not do what you think they do. The police department is not here for what you think it is. Nothing in your world works the way you think it does.
We have to let them know that their world government has been identified, and they thought they just cloned the world economy to bring in a worldwide police state, but instead it's gonna bring them down.
You have to stand up. Speak up, speak out.
See the motion picture. Order your copy of the DVD today at SheTheMotionPicture.com.
Rob Nellen Live is a show exposing the fallacy of the right-left paradigm while promoting liberty and freedom. A plethora of guests will challenge the establishment, mainstream media, the New World Order, and hopefully you. Listen to Rob Nellen Live Sundays between 3 and 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time right here on the Freedomizer Radio Network.
We are Critical Immunity with Larry and Renee. Our show will cover current events, national health news, nutrition, emergency preparedness, and organic farming, and various implements and tools to thrive and survive. We hope you tune in and join in our discussion of health, liberty, preparedness, and survival. Join our hosts, Larry and Renee, with guest callers always welcome.
Okay, we are back. And there are so many different programs going on Freedomizer Radio that you just have to keep your dial tuned to it with all the different kinds of things that you can learn here. And we're going to be talking now about this mind over skin. They've actually created a new word to refer to this, and I'm going to get to that in a minute. I found this article about Hadassah dermatologists that are reevaluating skin complaints, looking at the underlying emotional factors contributing to the disorders. So, you know, a lot of people have always told you if your child has asthma, that it is an emotional issue. And in many cases, there is an emotional component to actually all of disease, all of disorder, because we are complete, we are whole, we are spiritual, mental, emotional, and physical. And if you think that you can separate that out and just take care of one part, you really can't. to get a full, complete cure. And this is one of the things that we talk about in homeopathy, which is coming in. I don't want to say it's a fad because it's been around for 250 years, and there's always been communities that have been passionate about it, studied it, learned it, and it takes a lifetime to understand how homeopathy can help you in all the different facets of your life. But we want to talk about stress. Stress is acknowledged by all the medical professions now as a component and even the underlying reason that we become disordered or have a disharmony within our lives. And last two sessions, we did talk about stress and how it related to a particular emotion that was that of betrayal. And I only mentioned a couple of the homeopathic remedies that handle this particular issue. However, today we're going to learn, here's a couple little stories. This is written by Wendy Elliman. She says, talking to Dr. Vera Lubavitchi, who has, here's the new type of, I guess it's therapy. It's called psychodermatology at Hadassah Hospital. She gives us this story. A young man is injured during his Israel Defense Forces service. 2 weeks later, his wound is healing, but patches of skin all over his body are turning thick and red, then flaking off in silver-white scales. Here's another story. A woman in her 60s loses a beloved nephew to cancer. Within 2 months of burying him, her body is covered with red lumps that itch so intensely she can no longer sleep. And here's another story. An apparently healthy man in his 30s suffers so much pain from the skin around his genitals that he has quit work and can scarcely stand upright. So we know homeopathically, it's wonderful to see an outbreak on the skin because it means that the body is in survival mode. It is protecting the most vital of our organs, the lungs, the liver, the heart, the brain, the kidneys, and it's pushing disease out to the skin where we can observe it. If we then start to put suppressive therapies like steroids and other types of creams onto these skin outbreaks, we're telling our innate body, our survival mode, you don't know what you're doing, and we're just going to cover it up. We're going to make you look better because, hey, you know, who wants to walk around with acne in this fashion-conscious world? And so you begin to hide your skin or you begin to cover up your skin. And it's more than covering up just the surface. You're covering up maybe feelings of inadequacy or you're being humiliated by it, or you feel you're an outcast. There are many reasons for the skin outbreak that it's a struggle within the body that we need to learn how to acknowledge and see, what is this happening in my life that I have an outbreak now that I'm not dealing very well, I'm not really coping very well with a particular issue that has affected me emotionally, spiritually, physically, psychologically. And so the question is, how can we, it's our body telling us, hey, pay attention to me, see what's going on, how can I find a way to heal? How can I talk about it? So Dr. Vera says the skin is the largest and heaviest organ in the human body, exposed to assault from within and from without. It's susceptible to many disorders, perhaps more than any other organ. Doctors have more recently realized, however, that this pliant organ stretched over the body's entire external surface is a canvas on which we often display not only skin disorders, but also stress and psychosis. And I want to make a mention, in this article it says that it's on the surface of the body, but I can tell you that the dermis is also lining the internal surface of our body. And homeopathically, we like to give the person some calendula, which is a marigold. It has antiseptic properties, so when you have a scrape or a cut or a wound, calendula, mother tincture from the plant has always been a gentle way to get the body to heal. And it's good for your pets and it's good for you. So during the past 5 years, this mind-skin connection has developed into the subspecialty of psychodermatology. So we always have to give this a label. The managing of skin disorders psychologically as well as dermatologically. While the specialty is new, Dr. Libovici, a senior dermatologist at Hadassah Hebrew University Medical Center in Ein Kerem, has through 32 years of practice always treated, quote, the patient rather than the disease. And I love that because that's exactly, precisely what we say in homeopathy. We treat the patient. We treat the individual as they come. We want to learn about them. We want to listen to them. We want to hear what's going on in their life. We don't just say, okay, let's do an exam, a scraping of the skin, looking under the microscope and saying, okay, you have strep, or you have some kind of infection, or you have a wart. We really want to know what's going on with the person that is initiating the body to produce this symptom. So she says she's listening to them and spending longer with them than a clinic's scheduled 15 minutes to allow time to address underlying emotional issues. And in the same way, those people who are skeptics of homeopathy do praise something that all homeopaths do, and that is they are listeners. They are witnesses to the patient. They take hours to find out what's going on with the patient or the client. And this is what they consider the placebo effect. By this compassionate care, you're going to get a response from the human being. And you know what? It's true. If you love somebody, that love is going to impress upon the individual. They're going to feel better. They're going to get more self-confidence. They're going to feel better about themselves. So love and compassion and caring is why we're on the planet. And so Dr. Vera is learning this with her method of psychodermatology. She says it's made sense to her, and in 2009, she trained at the European Academy of Dermatology and Venereology Teaching Center in Brussels. She returned to open Hadassah's psychodermatology unit 3 years ago, and today she sees around 30 patients, ages 18 years and up, every single month. The consultations can be emotionally painful, she says. A patient comes in with what he or she thinks is a skin disease, only to be told, in fact, that it is a different type of disorder. There are psychiatric conditions that present as skin complaints, she says. They are self-induced conditions, among them pulling out hair, trichotillomania, and this is really a very difficult problem that many people have today. They create bald spots. They're self-inflicting pain by pulling out their hair. I think it's very often in females. There's also skin picking. People are constantly picking, making wounds and making it heal. And you know what? In homeopathy, we have all of these what we call rubrics. If we look in a book called The Repertory, we can find all of these symptoms listed from 250 years worth of documentation of people having these symptoms and put together a holistic picture of that individual. There's also psychosis, such as illusions of bugs crawling over the body, what they call parasitic delusions. And you know what? That's one of the rubrics that you would look up in the homeopathic repertory, and I believe that cannabis has that particular symptom. So it's possible that potentized cannabis might happen to be the needed remedy. And I want to emphasize that that is not smoking it or taking it in any other way except the energy of that substance. And this is confusing to people who don't know anything about homeopathy. They think it's a supplement. They think it's an herb. They think it's substance. It is not. It is diluted and shaken to the point where what's called Avogadro's number, there is such a minimal amount of that energy that we can only see it on the quantum level as a nano, minuscule amount of energy. It's like listening to music makes you feel like dancing, makes you move, makes you feel great. And in this way, homeopathy also works if you choose the correct remedy. So the patients with these skin problems will react to emotional states or being treated with great success by psychodermatology, whether it is psoriasis, urticaria, rashes, eczema, as examples. And I want to do a plug here because Dr. Adil is going to be back next Wednesday at 11 a.m. Eastern Time talking all about rashes, urticaria. When negative feelings, Dr. Vera says, stress, fear, grief, when all of these emotions build up and they get bottled inside, they often have to find an outlet, either inside the body or on our body, and particularly on our skin. And this is what medical psychologist Yuri Mandelkorn says, who began working with Dr. Vera 2 years ago as a postgraduate. The skin speaks for the psyche. It signals distress. How beautiful a quote that is, because here on the surface, on the outside layer of our body, we get all of these coded signals that something is not right, whether it is the hormones are out of whack, especially for girls during puberty or for during menopause, or when there's a life change or something going on, whether there is a loss, whether there is PTSD, post-traumatic stress syndrome. Our bodies speak. And if we know homeopathically how to understand the language of the body, we can find healing energy remedies that will assist the body through the difficulty, helping it to cope. So the medical psychology is a relatively new specialty that focuses on this mind-body connection. In dermatology, its role is to help the patients discover the underlying emotional factors contributing to their skin condition and learn how to manage them. And I want to say that when you have homeopathic treatments by a professional physician or a practitioner, that very often we recommend counseling and therapy along with the homeopathic remedy, because it is a journey. Life is a journey, and it takes time to heal. So these are things that we must recognize. The story about the soldier who developed psoriasis after his IDF injury came to the psychodermatology unit 2 years later, looking, as he put it, like a leper with all the lesions on me. So these are ways that people express how they're feeling about themselves. And a leper, obviously, is an outcast in society. So you can imagine that that is how he felt. And homeopathically, we can look this up. We can look up in the rubrics, in the repertory, things like leprosy, skin diseases, lesions, and specifics about what the lesion looks like, and emotions about how the mind feels, feeling like an outcast, and we would be able to find a homeopathic remedy to match his state of existence. Skin cells usually grow deep in the skin and rise to the surface about once in 3 weeks. In psoriasis, this process is speeded up and the dead skin cells build up on the skin surface. The etiology is unknown, but there's some evidence it may be an autoimmune disease. And I want to let you know, autoimmune disease is on the rise today, and that partially is being pushed due to vaccinations. It's known to be exacerbated by emotional stress in at least half of those who it affects. When the disorder fails to respond to treatment, we must ask whether psychological, social, or occupational stress is playing a role. There's a lot more in this article being told about learning coping mechanisms, coping tools that you can have, and like emotional freedom therapy, EMF, where you tap to yourself positive affirmations about love. You can learn breathing. You can learn relaxation techniques, meditation, self-hypnosis, biofeedback. All of these things will help you to cope. And homeopathy, when you have a chronic disease, is really one of the greatest things besides love and spiritual healing. All of these things are one and the same. They're the spirit looking for healing. And I want to thank all those folks who are in Freedomizer Radio at Chandango in the chat listening to me today, because there's so much to learn, and I only have a few minutes left. Who's getting stressed? I don't know. Everybody gets stressed if they listen to the news and read the news today and look into politics. It can get you pretty upset and get your goat and feeling a certain way, and there are remedies to help you calm down. I want to talk a little bit about some what we call tissue cell salts. Throughout our bloodstream, we have these salts that are running through our body, things like phosphorus and magnesium and calcium and potassium. And there are these gentle cell salts that are available to everyone by going to their local health food store and or an online organization has, a manufacturer has this that you can order. And we're going to talk just a few minutes about the elasticity of our cell, of our cells in our skin. So these are cell salts that are good for our veins, our skin, our muscles, and the other tissues to help for growth, repair, and flexibility. Elasticity isn't just an aging issue. And, you know, you can look at people all around you in your life or even celebrities or anybody, but you can see in their skin whether they have dry skin, whether they have wrinkled skin, maybe they were out in the sun sunbathing too much and dried it up, or whether their scales or whatever is going on with their skin. You can learn a lot about what's going on with them at all ages. Children need elasticity to grow and heal. Athletes and people who exercise need to mend torn muscles and strained ligaments. And our veins and also our lymph system is a network throughout our skin. They need it to keep from getting stretched in varicose veins. Skin needs to avoid stretch marks and scarring and weakness. Thus, it is these gentle cell salts, they're low-potency homeopathic remedies to help the elasticity of the skin. And I'm going to mention four. The first one is called Calcarea Flor, and it is the most important elasticity cell salt for helping growing bones, stimulating healing for lumbago, pain in the back, for hemorrhoids. So you can see how it can help with the tissues for varicose veins and stretch marks and other what we call relaxed conditions. When there's you don't have the tenacity in the tissue, and that's when Calc Flor, F-L-U-O-R, is going to come in helpful. And remember, only take one remedy at a time. Do not mix up your remedies. If you're scientifically based, you want to see what one thing will do at a time. The second one is called Calc Fos or Calcarea Fos, and that's calcium and phosphorus in low potency, which would be a 6X in the store or a 6X or a 3X, you'd find it. This is one that stimulates nutrition and cellular activity to help restore tone to tissue weakened by growth spurts, injury, illness, wear, and tear. So if you've broken a bone, or if your children complain about growing pains, or if they're young little babies that need a little bit of extra support during their growing years, Calc Fos is one of the best ways that you can add that to their nutrition. The next one is called Cali, that's K-A-L-I, Fos. That's potassium with phosphorus, and that helps to steady our nerves. So a lot of folks who have insomnia, difficulty sleeping, might search out Cali Fos. It encourages healing of the nervous tissue. So people who are pretty restless and nervous about a lot of stuff, this little gentle cell salt might be just the thing that they need. Lastly is one called Natrum Muriaticum, and that one is NaCl cell salts. Yes, she sells cell salts at the salt shop. Thanks, mystery guest. And I'll tell you what, I think that Natrum Muriaticum, which is the number one remedy homeopathically for grief and loss, that is the one probably most needed on the planet today. These are people who don't like consolation and just don't want, they're hard workers and they want to be like Florence Nightingale. They want to help and serve other people. They don't want people to dote over them like other personalities who need a lot of consolation, who need a lot of people to cheer them up. They are going to deal with it themselves. So these people easily have dry skin. And so it is NaCl salt, common table salt. It's for edema. It is for the water element in the body. And it helps to balance the water element, whether it is over an overabundance of accumulation like edema or whether it is dry skin. They might also typically have constipation, which means that they don't have enough moisture and it's difficult for them to go, to move their bowels. And it's also great for the circulation, especially when the tissues are mending or stiff. There are, I want to tell you, books about each one of these little baby remedies that you can study for the rest of your life. So we're going to finish up today with a couple of a little break at the end before we're on to the next show coming up, and I'm not even sure what it is. I'm going to have to look it up for the next time, what comes up after Alan Phillips and Debbie Brook with Vaccines and Your Rights in the United States and Homeopathy for Healing, Healing Stress. I thank everyone for listening. Please don't forget to check into Wednesday's Blog Talk Radio show on Homeopathy World Community. And I also have a Health In live video stream. Go to Homeopathy World Community and you'll see the banner. We're going to be talking about maintaining the body with Iman Navab. So let's take a quick little break here.
We know about the Gulf oil spill. We know about problems with voting. We know about environmental toxicity. We know that there are problems about the wars, that our government is not representing the people as we would wish them to represent us. But we also know that there are crystal clear solutions. I'm Patricia Springstead, and I'm heavily involved in making the world a better place.
Every day you try to brainwash people, just to have things go your way.
Trisha Springstead on Freedomizer Radio. Crystal clear solutions.
Well, tell me what you're gonna do when you're well and dry.
Greetings, this is Blake the Eccentric, and I want to invite you to check out my new show on Freedomizer Radio, The Eccentric Perspective. It's sort of a red pill, blue pill, going down the rabbit hole kind of show, featuring outside-the-box politics, philosophy, and gonzo journalism. But be warned, with knowledge comes responsibility, and you might not see the world the same way again. As I will attempt to open your mind, speak to your common sense, and challenge your critical thinking skills. So please join me Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday from noon to 1:30 Pacific Time. Once again, that's Eccentric Perspective, only on Freedomizer Radio.
And I'd like to let you folks know that there's a show called Crazy Dragon's Den. Join the Crazy Canadian, where the main topics of discussion will be the Morgellon affliction and its effect in a variety of ways on its victims. They're going to discuss assumed contributing factors, which will lead us into the aerosol spraying chemtrails, HARP, mind control, microchipping, GMO, Monsanto, and more. I don't know how he's going to cover all of that in this show. And then there's also, this was Libertarian Matthew Hess, that is February 21st. That was going to be Thursday night at 11 p.m. Central Time to discuss his bid for the Colorado governorship, Matthew Hess. Tomorrow, February 22nd, there's going to be at 9 p.m. Pacific Time, Scott welcomes Liam Sheff. Liam, the conspiracy realist and investigative comedian, journalist, author, artist, radio host, stand-up lecturer. So there's a lot of shows coming up in this week. If anybody has any questions, thanks, mystery guest. I love feedback. Hey, guys, if you have any comments or questions, send them to homeopathyworldcommunity@gmail.com. I'll see if I can answer your questions on the air. And we're going to continue our talk about stress and homeopathy. That is the last 30 minutes of our show. We have actually a three-hour show starting at, must be noon with Densing, D-U-E-N-S-I-N-G, then Alan, and then me. Wishing you a beautiful week, a beautiful weekend, and I will see you the next time, folks. Thanks so much. And I think we have like 60 seconds. I'm learning how to transition, folks, from my show to the next one coming up, and I think just live in joy, live in peace, relaxation, and get in touch with what's happening in your emotional life in order to heal totally, fully, and completely. Do some EFT tapping. Tell yourself you love yourself, and things will be better. Things will always be better. That's one of the affirmations I really love. Things are getting better and better every day for you, me, and everyone. We will see you next time.
Thank you for using Blog Talk Radio. Goodbye.